Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday coming to you again. And I trust that you're enjoying the videos that we've been sharing with you each week, Tuesday and Friday. And I also trust that you'll have a chance to share these with other people. It'd be wonderful to see people getting excited about having an adventure with grace. Or in other words, learning to be influenced by God throughout the day until testimonies begin to show themselves one after the other. Well, it's good to be with you again, and let's just remember and remind ourselves that number one, we're allowing God to become more tangible and more real. Number two, that is a part of what causes our faith to be so strong to get answers to our prayers. And then number three, we want to share testimonies with other people. Well, I love the invitation Jesus gives us, and every week we make sure that you hear this over and over again. It's so good. In Matthew 11, 27 to 30, in the Message Bible, it says, "Now Jesus resumed talking, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Well, we always want to comment just even a little bit on that wonderful invitation, where Jesus really is inviting us to spend time with him. Remember, we've made comments about 1 John, excuse me, chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, where it starts out and says, "And this is the confidence we have in him." Notice that it made the emphasis on him. And everything about that invitation is all about you enjoying him, spending time with him. So from God's perspective, he thinks, I think this is the right perspective to have, he thinks that it's possible for you to be aware in your spiritual senses of God like you are aware in your physical senses with this world. And if that were the case, then you'd be seeing him and hearing him and working with him and flowing with him, cooperating with him, and it would be normal to you and regular to you. It would be expected way of life. And people would say, "You have so many miracle signs and wonders in your life," and you're just thinking, "Well, I just kind of hang out with Jesus and stuff happens." That's how it's supposed to work. Well, as you know, the last session we were talking about Paul being a backseat driver. I know that's a little funny to say it that way, but you know, he kind of was. He'd share with you the first three chapters, you know, usually, of course, a lot of his books seem to have six chapters. He'd share with you in the first three chapters all about this wonderful, wonderful experience of Jesus being our Lord and Savior. And now we've been translated out of darkness into light. You are a new creature in Christ. Glory to God. You're nothing like you used to be. We're not under the law. We're under the righteousness of Jesus, of whom you have now become the righteousness of God in Christ. And on it goes. Because he wants you to have the proper perspective of how you see yourself. In the last three chapters, he was all about telling us and warning us, be careful about the world, be careful about the flesh, and be careful about the law. You go back into the law and try to order your own steps instead of the steps of the Lord are ordered by, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You'll get yourself in trouble because you're going to nullify the grace of God. You'll be right back where God's not able to do anything. You got his hands tied. And remember, the secret to our success is, can we get out of the way, out of our own way, out of God's way, so that God can just be God? Hallelujah. That's an awesome thought. So I'm looking right here at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 in the CP translation, which is the Carpenter translation. And it says, "Forever quit living like the rest of society who live in the utter emptiness of their intellects with the shades of their mind pulled down." You know, if you didn't know any better, that's all you have to go by is your intellect. And of course, your intellect is assuming data from your past, from your present, and from other people's experiences to give you some type of a hope or dreary outlook about your future. I mean, some people have it all pegged down. Oh my goodness, this isn't going to be good. I've been here before. I know what this means. This is not going to be good. This is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And, you know, we'll study, you know, doctors will say you've got some type of problem or disease in your body. We'll get on the internet and we'll study all about stage 1, 2, 3, and 4 until we're so overwhelmed by the fact that we must be in 2 now. We're not even in 1 and we're headed really quickly to stage 3. And we map out our failure instead of mapping out our success. And if people don't know that they're a spiritual being and have the right to spiritual anointing, power, victory, success, come on, everything that Jesus did for us put us in a category of having more than we need for every victory of life and every success. We're way overqualified for the job of being a Christian in the earth. Now, there's all kinds of tests and trials that come in the form of how the world sees life. But if we don't have to go by our intellects, and it says here the utter emptiness of our intellects. Wow, that's kind of hard to take a little bit, because some people that pride themselves on being intellectuals or knowing a lot would feel a little bit kind of miffed at that, or feel a little bit offended at the fact that you're making it look like my intellectualism is emptiness. But now, we're not saying that concerning how the world looks at your intellectualism. I'm sure you're the smartest in your class. And I'm sure that your idea would probably even be better than mine. What we're talking about is how God looks at it. And that's one of the reasons why I try to live in the God ideas all the time, because it sure beats my own. Amen? Look at what else he's saying in the 23rd verse in the Jerusalem translation. It says, your mind must be renewed by a spiritual revolution. Wow, that's interesting. And then a revolution is an overthrow and a replacement. Well, look at what Paul's saying. We need to overthrow your mind and then replace it. Aren't you glad he said over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 that we have the mind of Christ? After he just got through talking about how spiritual things are for those that are spiritual, earthly things are for those that are earthly, and the earthly mind doesn't comprehend the things of the Spirit. But thank God the Holy Spirit lives in us, and through his indwelling presence, he then speaks to our spirit the things that the Father is showing us. And then he says, but aren't you glad you got the mind of Christ? In other words, you know, it'd be really difficult to do all this stuff within our own ability. And God is not asking us to do any of it within our own ability. He really and truly wants his grace to perfect us in the same way that his grace saved us. God wants to walk us step by step through his ability into perfection. Now, we are perfect in Christ because of what Jesus did, but perfection of how we function every single day. So again, the key comes back to our awareness of God and his grace. So revolution, an overthrow and replacement, a drastic change in condition, method, idea, or thinking. Notice it didn't say just a subtle change, a drastic change. So God is all about really totally revamping your mind. Now, again, you may have a very intellectual mind. You may be very smart as far as the world's, concerned and how the world thinks. But this isn't going by your earthly mind. And it doesn't mean that you have to completely do away with it. There's many things that your mind sees and knows that are actually very good. But we're talking about beginning to understand and develop the fact that Jesus gave us his mind. We have the mind of Christ. That means we have the capacity to think in a relationship with God. That goes back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30, where Jesus is talking about, come on, get away with me. Come to me. Watch how I do it. Watch how I work. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me. What's he talking about? You start thinking like Jesus, walking in the mind of Christ, and you'll begin to experience nonstop revelation and presence where God is with you and God begins to work on your behalf. This is what we seek. This is Christianity. Well, I look back to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. We've given you this before, but in the Message Bible, it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Thank goodness he's helping us. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Notice you're placing the way that you do what you do before the Lord as an offering. It doesn't mean you still don't function. And you still don't do some of the things you do. You're just giving up the right to be in control of it, and you're wanting God to actually get right in the middle of it. It says, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Now, isn't that interesting? Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. There should be something about you as you begin to think like God, as you begin to experience His grace, which is a little bit of a pushback against the way everybody else is doing what they're doing. There should be something about you that when you hear certain news, you know, on the news channels, you ought to be going, I'm not so sure about that. Something in here just says that's really fishy. I'm not so sure that that's accurate and that's right. I mean, in the last couple of years, we've seen all kinds of things in the news cycles that should cause you to say, I really have to question whether or not that's accurate, whether or not that information is accurate. Is it possible it could be another way? And I'm not trying to insert my thoughts right here and tell you what way it should be. I'm saying that when you're following God and the world is spewing out all kinds of distrust and fake information and giving you a line of baloney that makes you think about life that everybody's just gonna get this and gonna get that and this is gonna happen to everybody, there's something about you when God's living in you that you ought to just step back, push back, and say, I'm not so sure about the information that I'm receiving. I think there's another way. I think there's another way to think about this. There's another way to see it. And I'm not so sure that God doesn't want me to experience something totally distant and drastically different from what everybody else is. Come on, this is Christianity now. This is God's living in your boat. Things ought to be a little different. You ought to be able to go faster. You ought to be able to avoid all the obstacles. You ought to be able to have seamless experiences one after the other. God's in your boat. Come on, Jesus was in the boat. There was all kinds of storms, and He awoke and He said, silence, and it all became quiet. I think there's a difference when God's in your boat. So it goes on to say, readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. You know, this is something that you're going to have to understand. And that is, you know, not even every Christian that you could hang out would be a good person to hang out with. If they're seeing things on such a very low level of immaturity, doubt, unbelief, no answers to prayer, God's not anywhere to be seen, and yet they're trying to influence you, they'll drag you down, just like the world will drag you down until you start actually owning up to and feeling like you're not qualified, you haven't done enough, because that's how the world is. Do more, think more, you know, be more. Well, I already am a new creature in Christ. I need to accept that, embrace that, begin to hang out with Jesus and experience it. But the world will pull you right back into works, right back into the law, right into the flesh. It'll pull you right back into its way of thinking, which is antithetical to the way that God thinks. The opposite. So this is really, really good as it talks. And of course, I want to share something from Jesus because He wanted to set the stage to get you out of the mindset that you have to in any way, shape, or form pay attention to the world and actually be afraid that the world's going to be the boogeyman and get you. No, it's not. Notice what He said in John 16:33 in the Amplified. It says, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Remember, that goes back to the same thing in Matthew 11:27-30. Jesus kept saying, come with Me, get away with Me, and you'll recover your life. In Him, you'll have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will have tribulation, trials, and distress and frustration. If you live by the world's rules, regulations, I know this sounds like the soap opera, by the way the world spins, then you will be right in the midst of trials, tribulations, and all kinds of difficulties. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. I like that word, undaunted. You're just flat, not moved by what's going on around you, and you've got cheer and you've got excitement because you have a future and a hope. Come on, the Lord spoke to us and said, I know. I have a future and I have a hope for you. I have plans for you. If God has plans for you, that means He's orchestrated not only the plan, but He's orchestrated the solution and the ability and the plan for you to go over. This is not too good to be true good news. This is the gospel. And the gospel is the too good to be good news, but it's not for you to look at and think, wow, this is just really beyond what's real. No, it's God's reality. And that's exactly where we're making the distinction. Look at the rest of this. It says, for I have overcome the world. In brackets, it says, I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Why did Jesus say that? So that you would not back up. Come on, everything about Christianity is going forward. It's moving toward the mark, not backing away from it. You know, everything about what Jesus wants us to do is to begin to change even the attitudes that we have. Because if you look at the attitudes that are in the world right now, and it's even in the church, one of them is complacency, which is a lack of purpose in one's perspective, an attitude of existence and nothing more. Do you know pretty much how people think? I want to be left alone. I don't want to change. I just want life to be a little bit better. I'll say it again. Number one, I want to be left alone. Number two, I don't want to change. Number three, I just want life to be a little better. That has nothing to do with Christianity. I like this over in Colossians 2, 6, and 7. It says, Living Bible. And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. What about the message? As it says, my counsel for you is simple, straightforward. Just go ahead and what you've been given. You receive Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live in him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living, and let your living spill over into thanksgiving. We've got so much more for you. Our time's already slipping away. But can you feel what the Lord's trying to do? He's really helping to give you a perspective of the world that we live in so that your choices with God can be so good and preconceived, if you will, because you're actually learning how to choose of the Spirit and of God versus, without even know it, fitting into your culture, going right down the road of the flesh to the world. I'm telling you, God has great things for each one of us. Now, even this weekend, down in Destin, Florida, so many wonderful things happen. Such great pastors down there, Pastor Roddy and Danielle Schaefer, doing such a great work at Champion Life. And so many wonderful things happened in that service. So many wonderful things happened with our new friends, CJ McCabe and Gigi. I'm so sorry that I got stumped there with CJ's last name. And McBride, CJ McBride and Gigi. What wonderful people. I know he's going to get me if he hears this. But such wonderful people that just love the Lord. I got a wonderful little country church. I remember one of the ladies there, just real quickly, she couldn't feel her legs, and she had arthritis in her legs and in her hands. All she could feel was pain. And as I began to walk back and forth with her, all of a sudden, you look at the light that came to her face. I said, isn't it interesting the pain's gone? She said, the pain is gone. I said, watch now as we walk again. You'll start feeling again. All of a sudden, her mind, I'm telling her little daughter came and hugged me and squeezed me really, really tight two or three times. But of course, I just wanted her to squeeze Jesus because I didn't do anything. But Jesus touched us. So much grace in those meetings to touch people, help people, and raise them up to believe that God can be real in everything they do. Go to the Jim Hockaday Facebook page and follow us, or go to the YouTube channel, which is Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. We always want you to share your grace stories. Come on, this is why we're doing this. So by all means, go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com and share with us on email your story. And if you want to find where that is, just go to jimhockaday.com. There's many things on our website that I believe will bless you. Until next time, we'll see you. Bye.